Welcome to the GoGo Radio, exclusively on GoGo.com. I'm Donna Martin, and today we'll be talking about common hazards for beginning C programmers. For those of you who don't know me, I'm an expert in C programming and have been working and teaching in that field since the 1980s. I've also produced the Introduction to C Programming Part 1 and Part 2 courses on GoGo. I've worked in C programming primarily with graphics applications since the late 80s, early 90s. I welcome your input and look forward to your comments and questions, so be sure to use the question box on this page. The things that we're going to be talking about in this particular broadcast are hazards that are mentioned in the Introduction to C Programming Part 1 course. Just kind of a summary of the things that you need to pay attention to, particularly as a beginning C programmer. One of the first things that we discuss in detail in the course is the concept of declaring main. If you are used to doing any C programming, you'll know that one of the first functions or programs, if you want to call it that, that you create in C is the main program. And in C, main is really just a function. But it has a special name. It has main. It can receive arguments if you want to parse things from the command line, have your user enter some arguments as they run your program, you can do that. We don't cover that until later in our C programming. However, the return type of main is very important. What you will find, especially if you look out on the web or you look at some C books, you'll find cases where people tell you that main doesn't need to return anything, and so they just say its return type is what's called void, which means it returns nothing. However, that's not a good thing at all. In C, main is expected to return an integer. Now, in previous versions of C, if you didn't do a return of some value, like a return 0, which indicates a success, in the C99 standard, it would return it for you, assuming that your program exited successfully, so it would return a success code of 0. However, you really should be doing that yourself, and that's what we teach when we do our Intro to C Programming course. But the main thing is, regardless of where on the web you find some expert telling you that you should void main, you need to know right away that that is not acceptable. You don't ever want to do that. If you take this C programming course or are familiar with stacks, then you will understand the problem of a function saying it's going to return something and then not. Your stack can get out of sync, and there's all kinds of issues that may happen there. The main thing being that you return, as we see in our course, you return a value to the operating system that's undefined, and that can cause confusion, if nothing else. That would be the nicest thing that would happen. So it's very important when you're writing a C program that your main program is typed to be returning an integer, and you should return 0 if everything works fine. So it's very, very important when you're doing your C programming that your main returns an int. It's also very important that if you see some discussion where someone tells you that it's okay for main to be of return type void, that should send up a red flag for you. That should be a problem in terms of what's happening in your C programming life. So that's one of the first things that we wanted to discuss. It's just that it's very important that you match the type of main, because in the standard, starting in C99, there's only two returns, or only two function prototypes for main, both of which require an integer return type. The only difference between the two is you can say whether main accepts those parameters we talked about from the user or whether it receives no parameters. So that's a very important part. Now, the other thing that's important, or many other things that are important, but I want to move on to the discussion of if statements. We go through several examples of if statements, and ifs are used very frequently in C programming to make decisions. One of the things that you have to realize is the if, and then you have an open parentheses and an expression and a closed parentheses. There is no semicolon following that expression, following that closing parentheses on the if. Semicolons in C are reserved for end of statements. The if is a control structure, and then it's going to execute the next statement. So it is the next statement that would have the corresponding semicolon on it. So you do not place a semicolon after the closing parenthesis of an expression, because just a semicolon is a C statement. It's what's known as a null statement. So in a C program, if you see just a semicolon all by itself, that's a null statement, which means it says don't do anything. But it does take up your statement position. So if you're dealing with that if expression, and you have that semicolon following the closing parentheses, and it says, if this expression is true, do nothing. That may be what you want. So that's fine. But normally you wouldn't, because you wouldn't even bother to have the if statement if it was to do nothing. But so the point is that you need to make sure you understand the syntax of the if statement correctly. The other thing that happens a lot of times when you're dealing with expressions, especially if you're a new C programmer, is the assignment operator versus the check for equality operator can cause you some grief. The assignment operator is a single equal sign. When you have things like I equals 10, or pi equals 3.141593, or that type of thing. The check for equality operator is a double equal sign. So if you're in an if statement, and you want to say something like, if the denominator is equal to 10, you want to do something, then you would say if denominator, a double equal sign, and then the number 10. You would not say if denominator single equal sign 10, because then you're actually assigning the value of 10 to the denominator, which is not the intention at all. Especially if you understand C programming, you know that assignment statements have values. So if you really did assign 10 into the operator or the variable denominator, then you actually have a true if statement, and you would go ahead and execute the next statement of code. Now, if you're not used to the idea of expressions having values and you don't know what that meant that I just said, then you might want to check into some of the general discussions on the web about C statements having, or C expressions having values, or you might want to look at that part of the Part 1 C programming course. You also need to be careful of precedence in your expressions. If you're unsure of the order in which a complicated expression is going to happen, you need to make sure you add your parentheses. Most of the precedence is similar to what you would see in your basic algebra type things. So I always find that if you're a programmer, you usually do very well in algebra or vice versa. But if you're unsure, then just add the extra parentheses and it's not a problem, because you don't want the assignment to happen in the wrong order. Now, C is built so that things that you would think would be lower precedence normally are. For instance, the assignment operator is one of the lowest in the hierarchy of precedence if you want to look at the precedence table. But again, you have to be careful here, because there are times, for instance, if you are getting a character from the keyboard and you want to store it into a variable, and you want to keep going as long as that character was not an end of file, for instance, you have to watch your precedence, because the checking for end of file happens before the assignment, because the assignment operator is one of the lowest operators in precedence. So in that situation, if you want to store the character before you are checking to see if that character was an end of file, then you would want to make sure that you have parentheses around the assignment statement first. So you get the character, you store it in your variable, that's in parentheses. Now you can check to see if that character is an end of file or not. So just make sure you understand the precedence of an expression. If you are unclear, it never hurts to add the parentheses to clarify the expression. So parentheses, and the same with curly braces, are your friend. Another particular area that beginning programmers can get themselves in trouble in C is the concept, back to our if statement. When you have an if expression, it's expecting the next statement to be tied to that expression. If you want to do more than a single statement tied to the if, you have to put it in a block of code. And in C, blocks of code are done with the opening and the closing curly brace. If you leave that out, if you build an if statement and you indent the next statement under it, C doesn't care whether it's indented or not. It takes that first statement because it is automatically tied to your if expression. However, if you decide you need to execute two things, like maybe you're going to go back and add some debugging statements and you want to put a print statement also under that if, you must make sure you add the curly braces, indenting it so it's all nicely lined up with that expression that was already there is not going to help you. It looks pretty, but C doesn't see that. It doesn't care. You have to add the curly braces anytime you're dealing with more than one statement tied to an if, or the same is true for your loops as well, for most of your loops. So you have to be careful with that type of thing. Make sure that you're dealing with your braces, your blocks of code correctly. You also need to remember that the inequality operator is an exclamation point and an equal sign, not the other way around. You don't ever want to be doing an equal and an exclamation point. Now, fortunately, I think it's logical to think of it as an exclamation point and an equals, because you're saying it does not equal, and the exclamation point is indicating the word not. But you want to make sure you do not do those in the opposite order, because it means something totally differently. Now, we also talked about macros in quite a bit of detail and in our programming class, and I just want to make sure if you are writing macros that you understand that there are potential side effects with macros. If you're not familiar with macros, in C programming, you can use the C preprocessor to define a macro, which is basically a substitution. It looks like a function, but it's not, because the C preprocessor goes through and replaces that code before your program actually starts to run. So it's a substitution. But a macro is set up with something like a function name and a list of parameters similar to a function. However, it doesn't involve the stack at all because we're not actually invoking a function. So that can give you some unexpected side effects that you wouldn't have if it really was a real function. So some of the things that you need to be careful when you're using macros or when you're writing a macro is you need to make sure you place parentheses around the arguments that are being used in the macro, anywhere they're actually used in the statement making up the actual macro itself. You also need parentheses around the entire macro to conserve the precedence. If there's something else on that line where the macro is invoked, you need to maintain complete precedence of the macro itself. So when you're writing a macro, make sure that anywhere you use an argument, that you put parentheses around that argument. So if you have a macro that accepts X and Y, and then you have, maybe you're just adding X and Y and returning it, you need to make sure you have an open parentheses, an X, a closed parentheses, then the plus sign, then the open parentheses Y, then the closed parentheses Y. Now, again, the second thing we said is the entire macro should be in parentheses, so you want to put a parentheses before and after the definition of the part that defines the macro itself. The other thing about macros is it is not safe to use the auto increment or decrement operators when you're invoking a macro. So it's very important when you are using functions, especially if you have not written them or don't know where they are coming from, that you do not put your auto increment decrement operators inside the function parameter list or where you actually invoke the function if you don't know that it might be a macro. The issue is that in a macro, if an argument is used more than once, it's physically replaced on the line when the preprocessor comes in and does the substitution. So you actually would see your plus plus more than once physically on that line is what gets translated when your preprocessor comes through. So if you don't know whether it's a function or a macro, it's extremely important that you not use the plus plus minus minus operators in an actual macro call. Now, there are some other things that we want to talk about in terms of just things to pay attention to when you're doing C programming. But we'll continue that in part two. I hope you enjoyed this particular part of the presentation, and I look forward to your comments and questions. You can email your input to me by using the question box found on this page, and I will be answering your questions and replying to your comments in upcoming presentations. I hope that you'll join me for part two of Common Hazards for Beginning C Programmers.